a service and what we know he has said about that, it is pretty clear that his crusader tattoos are a reference to his service in the war on terror.
So in this last minute we have, if you can respond to him becoming head of this 3 million person organization, the charges against him of spousal abuse, of rape, but they were non-disclosure agreements, non-disparagement agreements, repeatedly of public drunkenness and driving to veterans organizations. Well, I was of financial irregularity in running these two organizations.
This is the thing about Hagseth Wright, is we can talk about his faith, we can talk about his community. The biggest problems with Hagseth, I mean, his beliefs are troubling, but he is wildly unqualified for this role. He is also has a long track record of demonstrating a fairly serious moral unfitness to be in polite society. My biggest concern with that is a man holding these fairly intense, far outside of mainstream beliefs, finding himself in a position well beyond anything he is qualified for or has experience in. I think that that puts us in a position where he is likely going to be leaning on these controversial faith leaders in his life more than somebody with adequate experience for the job might. So I think we do need to be concerned about
Logan, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much. But we'll link to your article in the Colorado Times Reporter, Logan Davis. I'm Amy Goodman.
You are listening to KBOO Port.
KBOO Community Radio is now on Venmo. Follow us and send a donation anytime at KBOO Radio. That's at KBOO Radio. Thanks.
Good morning, and you are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO FM, 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO.FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and today is the 27th day of January, and welcome to all of you who are listening. We are broadcasting live, and this is the first time in, well, since last year that I've had the opportunity to speak with you. A lot has happened within the last month, and a lot of changes have occurred not only in our individual lives, but certainly in the world today. For those of you who were listening to the program just before our program, Democracy Now!, you heard the commentary and reflection and news stories about some of the events that are happening in our world today. And yeah, what a month it has been. What a week it has been. And it's one that anyone who has paid any attention to what's going on should not be surprised in terms of the intentions and actions of the president and the administration. But certainly it is it causes one to pause and try to catch one's breath. And maybe it, you know, part of an intentional program to overwhelm us by just throwing all these policy announcements and in addition to unqualified people to administer these programs, one right after the other, so that one would not be surprised. I'm not surprised if people seem to be overwhelmed and just throw up their hands in frustration and say, oh my gosh, there's nothing we can do, and the end is near and it's upon us. I want us to have the opportunity to take a breath, as we have been doing, many of us, in the last 3 months since the national elections in November, and decide and make decisions about where do we go, how do we proceed forward. I was listening briefly to a segment of a of an addressed sermon that the Reverend Raphael Warnock gave, I assume yesterday at Trinity United Church of Christ in Chicago, where he was reminding the listeners that regardless of how terrible one might imagine things to be now, he said in response to people who were frustrated and said things like, we did not have access to the White House. He said something like, well, when have we ever had a friend in the White House? And certainly is a reminder for all of us to recognize that power, find it very difficult to release power, and it continues to grip onto it, and oppression seek to just wear us down. And so the opportunity come for all of us, as Senator Warnock reminded us, to be aware of history, be aware of things that have gone before us, and to be reminded of the not only the strength, but the strategies and the means in which those who we look for look towards as to give us encouragement and guidance in terms of how do we meet the challenges of this day, what to do and how to do it. So on this day, the 27th of January, 1 week into the presidency, this second term of Donald Trump, this is where we are. And so where are we all in terms of where do we go from here? Certainly the president's administration is going forward with this agenda on multiple fronts and in lightning speed even. And so, you know, you wake up in the morning and you look at your phone or newspaper and you see different policies announcement, different personnel changes, and it comes at you at a rapid speed. So what are you focusing on? What are you working on? There are so many things that are so important that people should be involved in. I'm interested in hearing what are some of the things you are focused on and some of the things that concern you. In the meantime, we certainly need to be aware of certainly the policies of the new administration, but also be aware of not only looking internally, but also in terms of the impact externally, outside the U.S. borders. So internationally, where are we? And so I'm interested in hearing people's reflections on finally a ceasefire in Gaza and Lebanon. And it seems like, you know, all the ceasefires are often very fragile, and we don't know what might change. But after 15 months of terrible genocidal attacks, there is a peace, a ceasefire. And what are people feeling about that in terms of how people feel? Where do we go from here? So I'm interested in some ideas about people in terms of how do we address the issues of justice for the Palestinians. And also, how do people respond to this new phenomenon? Well, it's certainly not a new phenomenon, but certainly to a reality, a recognition of the reality that we are now in an era that I like to say is we are living with tech overlords. Certainly all of us were aware of the tech bros at the inauguration and clamoring over one another to get as close to the president as possible. And maybe one could say maybe the president was doing all that he could do to get as close to the tech overlords so that he might have access to power. Are there any lessons, thinking of the tech overlords, you know, you know who they are, the Amazons, the Metas, the X, and those folks. Are there any lessons from these new powerful, influential, in the 19th and 20th century, there were industrial overlords, you know, the Rockefellers and those who were in charge of coals and railroads who had power. Are there any lessons that we can learn from the 19th and 20th century responses to the powerful industry heads in terms of limiting their powers and their influence? We certainly had the reforms of the late 19th century and early 20th century of movement to reform business practices and also oversight in terms of protecting consumers and protecting workers. What can we learn from our forebears in the 19th and 20th century in terms of limiting the reach and powers of these new barons, of these new powerful folks who are have an overwhelming influence on our lives, what we where we work, how we live, what we do. What is the response to these tech overlords, as I term them? And finally, who are the either resistors or people that you look for guidance, for influence, for inspiration as we are entering into this new era? Trump, to which, as we are becoming ever increasingly more aware, it is certainly an attempt to overwhelm us with vengeance and what I think are terrible policy for those living in the United States and those living without, outside of the United States. And certainly the challenges that we face protecting those who are most vulnerable, those who are at risk in many ways, migrant and refugees, populations are confronted with challenges. How are we responding to all these things? Now, all of this can be overwhelming in a sense, but I'm interested in hearing what are some of your thoughts and what are some of the things that you are either working on or thinking on, or quite frankly, how are you coping? What are the things you are sharing with your friends and family and also your children? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Interested in hearing from you and to be encouraged for conversation. 2025, catch a breath. This is quite a new era that we are living in. And how do we respond? Let's hear from our callers. Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. I want to hear your thoughts. And let's hear from Mark. Good morning, Mark. How are you today?
Good morning, Cecil. I want to share a Turkish proverb.
Okay.
Putting a clown in a palace doesn't make him a sultan, but it can turn the palace into a circus. And I think that kind of summarizes the bizarre reality. We have a very erratic, unpredictable, and callous president who has a contempt for diversity that is really unparalleled. I'm very frightened about the influence of Elon Musk, who is financially helping the anti-immigrant party in Germany.
Yes.
This is a terrible combination. Now, I've been sending people a link to a remarkable 18-page analysis titled Trump 2.0 as the Herald of Authoritarian Capitalism.
Okay. Could you, what is that link? Is that the title? Is that the title of the article?
That's the title of the article. The link is opendemocracy.net.
Okay.
So she emphasizes that our problems aren't China and immigrants, but the ills of a capitalist system that is just enriching the top 1%.
Yes.
So she talks about how we need to focus on authoritarian capitalism, which I think is very helpful.
Mm.
Because the media is so prone to distracting us.
Certainly.
With celebrity news, etc. So thanks for your passion.
Oh, thank you.
And we will overcome this, you know. He will be blocked at every turn, just as he is blocked now with the citizenship executive order.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling and for getting us started today and for reminding us that there is much to do and there is much that we can continue to inspire to be. Thank you so much.
opendemocracy.net might be a great source for us.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thank you for the recommendation. And you're listening to More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil Prescott, and we'll go to our next caller. Jeff, good morning, Jeff. How are you
today?
Good
morning, Cecil.
Thank you.
Good morning. Hello, Cecil.
Yes, good morning, Jeff.
Good morning to you, and thanks for taking my call. I need not remind you, nor anyone who is a so-called believer, that the first words of every angel in Holy Scripture, the first words they ever utter at every appearance, is, "Fear not." Are you with me?
Yes, I'm listening. Continue.
And unfortunately, that fear is striking deep, and we need to take the good advice of the angels to fear not. I understand that at Roosevelt High School there is an abundance of fear, since in fact so many of these kids are DACA kids, that's the right. Delayed action, deferred action for childhood arrivals and the
yes.
like, and the sweeps are underway in Chicago, so we need to fear not. Unfortunately, I having thought about it so much a few days ago, I had a night of absolute nightmares, and the orange Caligula was coming for me personally. It was a horrible night. I had to get up and then finally go back to sleep, and had worse nightmares of a different variety. But it was this advice that I need to embody and take into my soul, which is fear not.
So tell us, how do we not wake up with those nightmares? Yeah, how do we fear not?
Well, one way, Cecil, is comedy. And I will leave you on this very comic note.
Okay.
And that is, here in Portland, the dry January has taken on a new meaning. And I'm rather liking this dry January, though it may be an indication of global warming and climate change. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of dry January I can handle. The dry January that everybody's talking about, that's for quitters.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jeff. And I don't hope that we are not quitters, that we continue to be inspired and encouraged. And as you remind us, fear not.
Laughter will overcome fear. Go for comedy at every turn. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO.FM. I'm Cecil Prescott. We just finished hearing from Jeff, who reminded us that although people might be anxious to hear the calls of the ancient to fear not, and his recommendation was that comedy is helpful in terms of how to prepare for the challenges that we face. So what are things that we hold on to? What are things that we acknowledge? While I appreciate our callers, Jeff and our first caller, reminding us that there's so much around us that people are worried about. But what are things that are there things that give you hope and encourage you to the struggle? You know, we mentioned the new federal administration. And all that is going on there, but certainly in this nation, in your community, things are new. It's a new year, new possibilities, and new things that are happening. The election was not only a federal election in November, but local and state elections. So people have new state legislators, new state officials, new local officials. And what are things, are there things in your community that are either frightening or encouraging? And what are ways, and I'm interested, that people find to resist? We heard a couple of suggestions this morning about how people might resist. And the last one, in analysis, mentioned comedy and the use of comedy. He also mentioned, reference a website with information that might be helpful for all of us. So even as we do our research, and the website he mentioned was opendemocracy.net, but even as we do our research, he also reminded us of that the place of humor, of comedy, and perhaps that is the beginning of resistance. What are your thoughts? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. What do you think? 1 week into the new administrations, are you? What are signs of optimism? Are there things that give you hope? Now, I'm assuming that many, if not most, of those who are listening, are not people who support the new administrations or its policies. So, if you are those who fear or worry about this new authoritarian capitalism, authoritarian government. What are things that you are doing that are reminding you to resist? And I go back to that word again and again, resist. What are things that you are doing that encourages you, that helps you and your community? Earlier, before the program started, I was mentioning to our engineer, we had a conversation about the world and about our nation and where we are going. And it reminded me of many ways in which people are doing things to confront the world. And there are things that we all can do to learn, to be encouraged, and to find directions. So give us some of your clues. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And we will hear some of your thoughts and ideas. Let's go to our next caller, Santiago. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well.
Good. I think I have a really hard time, and not that I'm hopeless, let's just clarify that, but I have a really hard time with a lot of, especially, liberals talking about hope when they can't even, look the truth of the situation in the eye.
Yes.
It's like, it falls on deaf ears that, America has always been fascist.
Yes.
We've never, FDR probably stymied it a bit. He stymied it for a while with the New Deal, but ultimately, there's never been a time that America has not supported fascism, and it's just, yes. Unfortunate that we have to keep playing this game with words and semantics. We can't. There's people trying to reason their way out of this. They're trying to tell us that there's ways to nonviolently resist what's coming, but ultimately, any resistance to the state and in a fascist regime is seen as violence. And it's like, mm-hmm. And America was never, the only real democracy that's ever been ushered in America has been through the blood, sweat, and tears of the most marginalized, And I think, and people, and a lot of liberals, even like black and brown liberals, really, they really forget that, they forget that, that there was, even... it's just really unfortunate that, we forget that it actually took real sacrifice, Malcolm X said, if you're not willing to die for it, get the word liberation out of your mouth.
Right. So what do you think? You mentioned that in terms of history and certainly part of the strategy of this government is to not teach accurate history. Taking away history. How do we make sure that people know what happened and are empowered?
Well, people have to be in touch with groups that have no stake in saving. Because we have a lot of groups right now that have stake in preserving America or preserving democracy, but
yes.
We have to get to a place where we have to want to preserve the people regardless of what the state looks like.
Right.
And because those are the groups, the La Raza Unidas of the world, the African People's Socialist Parties of the world, all African People's Revolutionary Parties of the world, parties that have no vested interest in in electoralism or, you know, Western liberal democracy. You know, those are the people we need to be in touch with in order to preserve that history, because ultimately, from any other source, there's always looking for, there's places that will take, they'll take history and twist it in a way to make it seem like, you know, the arc of the universe was always going to bend this way regardless of what happened, when in reality, you know, we have to bend it ourselves. And it's going to take a lot, and people, and there's going, you know, and people have to quit thinking about, like, you know, there's going to be loss either way, and but we're not going to get there if we keep pretending, that it's not, there's not going to be any victory if we don't look the truth of America in the eye.
Well, perhaps where we are now will force people to acknowledge that reality that you and I both know. America.
Well, and that's what I'm saying is, that's what I'm saying is, we got a lot of people right now with a vested interest in in saving, you know, in trying to bring us all into a burning building,
right.
You know, and the people talking about putting out the fire are the crazy ones.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of wisdom you're sharing with us, and
and I just one more thing, like, not just for the listeners, I'm not telling you guys this to be hopeless. I'm telling you this because you can't have hope if you don't have a good understanding of what's going on.
Right.
It's not possible, because you're just lying to yourself.
Yes. Oh, very good point.
If you can't see something through to the end, regardless of how futile you think it is, then you're not in it for the right reasons, and you need to get your head straight.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Hey, thank you so much. And, keep letting us know. Keep talking, and maybe we'll finally realize the truth of what you're saying, and finally give up on this so-called American dream.
Yep, because they call it the American dream because you got to be asleep to believe it.
I like that. Well, thank you. Anything else right now?
Just want to shout out all the people who are all the frontliners right now helping protect migrants from the ICE raids, and all the community organizers out here who are trying to open people's eyes and getting to see the truth.
Yes.
You know, we got a lot of work to do, but it starts with a clear understanding of the road forward.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And take care.
Yes, sir.
And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO FM. I'm Cecil Prescott. And our last caller, Santiago, was reminding us that maybe, and these are, this is my interpretation of his reflections, that maybe the blinders are off our eyes, and we can see the United States, our country as it is. And so for those who have given up hope, it's just a realization that this is who we are, and perhaps this is who we have always been. And then maybe we can begin to challenge and to change. What are some of your thoughts? Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. And in this land, in this time, 1 week into the administration, and it's interesting, people, I've had conversation with some people who say, if we can only get through some say the next 4 years, some say the next 2 years, because they say the next 2 years, then we can vote for a new Congress. Some say the next 4 years, then we vote for a new president. And I'm thinking about what our last caller, Santiago, reminded us, is that, things aren't always, like we thought it was. And maybe it's a realization of who we should be. But let's hear what some of our other listeners have to say. And let's hear what Paul has to say. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Oh, I'm sort of middling here.
Middling, okay. Okay.
And what can people do? Well, you know, not to be redundant, but just to remind people, because I mentioned this a few weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
I've taken heart from reading Across That Bridge by John Lewis.
Oh.
And, you know, he talks about a lot in there. It's just really good. And the thing is that nothing happens overnight. One of the things he talks about is being patient.
Mm.
And the thing is that when I get to the end of it, I know that I just have to keep on keeping on.
Mm.
And like yesterday, we went to see this documentary at Cinema 21, The Palestine Exception.
Yes.
And it's about... there is no First Amendment for college students if they want to talk about Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of what it's about. And there were some people there from Portland State and some people that had something to do with the making of the film from Portland State. And this woman from the audience was talking about what's going on at Portland State. And basically at Portland State, they are not allowed to speak out publicly about Palestine on campus, or actually if they do, they're watching them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're telling them that they're watching them. Mm-hmm. And after the movie, I've gotten to thinking, so in other words, whoever makes the decisions at Portland State University, they have decided to go full on and endorse and promote genocide in Gaza. And a little bit, it's going to be after 9 o'clock, and then I can call that state. And I don't know who's the head person down there, if it's the provost or the president. I guess you got to go to the website and find that out. But I just really am offended that state university is using my meager tax dollars to promote genocide in Gaza. Right. And so that's one of the things I'm going to do today, is I'm going to call them and say, I am appalled, I'm incensed. Why are you promoting genocide in Gaza when you will not allow anybody to say that there's genocide in Gaza? You're promoting it.
Yeah.
The thing is that to keep doing things, talk to people, there's, you know, good movies out. And, you know, there's another book, another author also that I recently read, Catherine Hayhoe. And she's a Canadian woman, and she's talking about the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And Santiago was talking about, you know, people just blithely going along and living our imperialist lifestyle. And, you know, think about what are you doing. Think daily about what are you doing, what is the effects on the environment of your personal choices, of the things that you think you must have to do. Do you really need avocados that are air freighted in from Ecuador? Do you really need to buy roses that are flown in from Colombia for your lover on Valentine's Day? You know,
that's good thoughts. Good thoughts.
Yeah. You know, think about your own ecological footprint. We are borrowing this planet from our grandchildren. It ain't ours. And the biblical thing of dominion was not to dominate, it was to be a good steward. And we're not being good stewards. So
hey, thank you, Bob.
Think about what I can do in my personal life.
Yeah, those are some good suggestions and reminding us that we each can do something. And thank you for, you know, following through at PSU. Hey, thank you so much for calling and sharing. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station. I'm Cecil. We've been talking about what are people feeling and what are they doing 1 week into the new presidential administration. And I believe Bob has some thoughts. Let's go to Bob. Good morning.
Hey, Cecil.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Bob. Make sure I'm not getting too much feedback here. There we go. So I couldn't sleep last night.
No.
And, you know, partly that's because, you know, I'm a healthcare provider and I have a lot of patients that are diverse and, in many different ways, you know, ethnically and otherwise. And I was questioning myself as like, what will I stand between these people and whatever it is that comes after them, or what might happen to them?
Right.
And in grappling with that, you know, there's a lot of thought that goes on. I know that, like, we talk a lot about what's happened and what's going to happen. I mean, truthfully, I don't know how much Trump really changed things other than just taking the mask off what this country really is.
Right.
But the conclusion that I came to is that as a mostly Caucasian person, if I want to stand between, let's say, ICE and a family that's immigrated from another country,
yes,
regardless of where they're from, like, I have to be willing to give up my privilege, maybe even give up my ability to do my job, maybe lose my license or something like that. And that, to me, is our only hope, is for people to be willing to do that.
And what?
Because if we can't,
yeah,
then we're just gonna, like, we'll go through this, we'll complain a lot. People are gonna get, like, rounded up into concentration camps. Who knows what else is gonna happen? I mean, he put Jackson back in the Oval Office. Jackson, like,
yeah,
he,
yeah,
Congress did not approve of removal.
Yeah.
And he did it anyway. And I think that's just, you know, it's great that we've got some Democrats in Congress. We're balanced or whatever. But he's going to do what he's going to do regardless.
And there's a lot of work to be done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, I appreciate what you're sharing, and your analysis is helpful. Great.
Thank you. But I mean, I appreciate everybody's thoughts. And again, like, I think we all have to go through this thought process of, are we willing or not willing to give up our privilege? Or as the earlier caller said, to, you know, possibly even, like, put our lives on the line for this.
Yeah.
And that's how we're going to get there if we are. That's our hope.
Yeah. Thank you, and for reminding us that we have to make decisions. We have to decide.
We do.
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah.
Thank you. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. I'm Cecil, and I believe we have Lou on the line. Good morning, Lou. How are you?
How are you?
I'm well. What?
I noticed that someone mentioned Portland State and Jen Hawkins' film about Palestine.
Yes.
And I think the person may have been looking for the responsible person with the current anti-free speech tactics by the administration. That's Ann Cudd. Her first name is Ann, A-N-N. Her second name, her last name, is Cudd, C-U-D-D. She's Portland State president. She's been someone that students, community members, teachers have targeted since the library occupation last spring to try to change Portland State's policy. What Ann Cudd was quoted in the Oregonian a couple weeks ago about is that she felt that the protesters, and this was last spring before the ceasefire at PSU, didn't understand nuance, the word nuance, N-U-A-N-C-E, in that violence was bad and occupying the library was bad. So if people want to contact NCUD, that's the person to try to find at PSU who decides things. But mm-hmm. there's also the Board of Trustees and there's the faculty. Teachers have been protesting the proposed austerity measures against 100 teacher slots being cut by the school. And in fact, some of us from Portland Grey Panthers got to talk briefly at one of the pickets outside the university administration office a couple weeks ago with Samir, who just got elected to city council. And Samir Kanal is in North Portland. He's in District 2. He's DSA, Democratic Socialist. And he was able to finally, as a citywide thing, get the facilities department for the city of Portland to approve a permit for our coalition with Grey Panthers to hold our second annual harm reduction town hall, which again will be on February 14th, Valentine's Day, in remembrance and looking forward, based on that being the day for February 14th when the Parkland shooting happened a few years ago. So
what time is that event?
Okay, well, there's a planning meeting Wednesday night at PSU for that. We're doing that until we get to it. But
okay.
We held it last year, and Keith Wilson talked last year before he was mayor. Mm-hmm. He said to be MSC, or at least be the welcome this time.
Okay.
But it's 12 noon to 2 p.m. We'll check with KBOO to see if KBOO can do a PSA for it. 12 noon to 2 p.m. In room 108, the room we had last year, room for 300 people, actually, in the Portland building, 1120 Southwest 5th. I believe you've been there before. It's the building that has Portlandia, a big statue in front.
Mm-hmm.
And that's February 14th. It's a Friday. And it's like noon to 2 p.m.
Thank you.
Is that enough specific?
Great. Yeah, it is. Thank
you. All right.
That's great.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you for your work.
Sure.
And for letting us know about who to contact at PSU.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you were back after being gone for a at the station.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Take care. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott. And we just, you know, in the last few minutes did some organizing here. You know, a while ago, a caller shared he had went to a presentation and wanted to comment about who to contact at PSU about their policies, which are not very democratic, small d democratic. And our last caller, Lou, directed him and us to the person who we should share our concern with. So part of resisting, part of is organizing with one another. And, you know, what we have seen within the last, you know, 35 minutes on this program is an example of communities getting together and organizing. Part of what we need to do is be able to listen and hear, to speak. And that means to allow others to have their say and to add information afterwards. If we add information, seek clarification, and to go forth from there. And part of working together in terms of creating a better society is finding out the needs of one another. And as I, you know, we demonstrated today is, you know, listening to one another, hearing one another concerned and saying, oh, this is a solution. This is what you might want to do. You know, we throw around the word mutual aid a lot, but it encompasses, I think, many things. And this is, I think, a way in which we will not only, again, some people say the next 2 years, the next 4 years, but as a caller reminded us earlier, America has always been like this. From its inception of the country and certainly since the arrival of colonizers on this continent, so that people have always had to resist, whether it's indigenous people, whether it's people who were came over here and changed, whether it were people who came to these lands seeking a better life for their families. People have always resisted and always have had to speak against the oligarchs, those who are in power. So what can we do? You have the power. Our numbers are 503-231-8187, and we have about 10 minutes, so give us a call to make sure that your words are shared. But let's hear what Tangent has to say. Good morning, Tangent.
Good morning, Brother Cecil. Hey, I was taking Jeff's words to heart earlier. Mm-hmm. So for on the fun side, would Trump be survival of the twittest? So, you know what a twit is, yeah?
That's being very creative there. Okay.
All right. I think he does cartoons, too. I've been working on this one. There's a T-intersection sign. Got it? A T-intersection approaching. Uh-huh, uh-huh. And then below that it says Rump Road. And then it goes up ahead. It says no left turn, road under deconstruction. And on the other side, to the right, as you will, is on the top is all these, like, millionaire homes. And then down below is would be Trumpville, like mm-hmm. Hooverville, Trumpville.
Okay. Yes. And I think, what you're doing, and I'm laughing along with you, as I think many of us are, is that this, by doing this, we're revealing the true character of this administration, ridicule, and they find it. He finds it. He doesn't know what to do with it. It gets on him. So yeah, make fun of him. Yeah.
All right. So laughter the best medicine.
It is. Well, thank you so much.
I know what I was going to do. I was going to say I take every serious subject humorously and every humorous subject seriously. And actually, I went into a Plaid Pantry. I just thought of this, and I told this to the cashier. She goes, I know. I live with them. I go, like, stand-up comics, they're very serious about their subject matter. And she goes, I know. I live with one.
Oh, wonderful.
Hey, let's let somebody else get on.
Hey, thank you so much, Tangent. You take care. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and I've been your host for this program this morning. We've had several callers who called in and shared some of their reflections on this administration. 1 week. It's only been one week. But how do we resist? How do we respond? How do we struggle? Among the things that have been suggested is ridicule and humor, not only to get over, but also as a means to respond to that. Let's see what our next caller has to say. Kyle, good morning.
Good morning, Cecil. Thanks for your show.
Thank you for calling.
I just wanted to call in and say, as a male, that I am very afraid of what's happening in this country right now. It is scaring me. I don't believe I, in my 72 years, have ever seen anything as bad as this. George Wallace was something. He was a spectacle, but he didn't make it to be the president, and that's a good thing. And this one did.
Yeah.
This mistake of nature did make it to the presidency, and now we're stuck with him. And he's putting a drunk in the head of the Defense Department, Hegs, whatever his name is. Mm-hmm. And this has gone on too far, and it's not going to get any better. And I'm really afraid that this is going to end up in an armed conflict inside of our country. I hate to say that because I would need the least amount of interest in that.
Right.
But that's what it's starting to look like. And it's starting to scare me because, and the other thing scaring me is that there's no pushback.
Well, say something about that.
Where is the pushback?
Yeah, you know? Why do you think there is no pushback? And answer your question. Where is it?
Well, I'd like to know where the pushback is. The only place I hear it is on KBOO, and occasionally somebody will carry a lone sign downtown and risk being arrested. Mm. You know, I think people are tired of fighting, too. They're tired of fighting this fool. It's like Nixon. Nixon tried several times, you know, to get into the White House. He finally made it, you know, and then look what happened, you know.
Mm-hmm. But the thing with Nixon, so part of it, you observe people giving up, and you talked about Nixon and Nixon trying over and over. He finally made it into the White House, but the resistance of Nixon never stopped, you know, finally led him to force him out of the White House. Do you think...
And that's where we need to be with this current regime, and I mean regime.
Yes, yeah.
And we need to be ready to fight, because those guys are not going to just walk away and say, oh, here you go. Sorry.
They're not going to take their marbles and go home, no.
No.
So. Yeah, yeah.
No, and this Hegstead guy, I just saw it in the headlines that he's going to build a dome shield around the United States. A dome shield, a missile dome shield.
Yeah.
Okay, now, are we looking at, is this sounding fun yet? Not to me.
Right. That reminds me, what was that? I haven't heard that, but that sort of like recall, wasn't there something in the Reagan era around this?
The 1,000 points of light speech?
No, not the 1,000, something about a dome over, but yeah. So we have to continue to watch out for, you know, these characters. And, you know, maybe things are stirring underneath the surface.
That's, I hope so. Yeah. I hope people are going, I hope, you know, because it seems like most everybody I talk to on the street when I'm out walking or something, you know, they reject him. They reject the whole thing wholesale, but nothing is happening. It's like nobody's got to the point yet where the vomit has risen in their throat and they have to do something about it, you know? So, I don't know. I'm just afraid. I'm afraid that they're moving very fast.
Right.
And that scares me, too.
Yeah.
When a snake moves real fast, you're in trouble.
Wow. Wow. I love the, oh, gosh. When a snake moves too fast, you're in trouble. Well, I hope you continue to speak to people, and the fact that this frightens you, and that you're, you know, an older person, that should raise alarm bells for other folks, for our society. That this.
Oh, I can see them cutting Social Security and Medicare and all kinds of things. They're just getting started.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a lot of work to do, We can't give up. We have to continue to support one another. And you know, when we are weary, you know,
yeah,
be there
for
us.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
I'm weary. I'm just weary. And I'm tired of it. And I think that's what a lot of people are. They're just tired of the fight. And I think everybody's taking a big, huge breather. I'm hoping that's all it is.
Yeah, and that's
once they get a lungs full of air again, it's going to start blowing.
Okay,
and I think it's going to start blowing big time. I hope.
I hope so too. People are taking a breath. It's okay. We need to do that, but then we have to get back. You know,
right?
Get up and start again.
Well, it's been a long fight, you know, with that guy. He's been fighting for 4 years before he even got into office. I mean, you know, we should do the same thing to him as he's done to us. You know, I've got a sign that's in my garage, and every time I open my garage door, it says, lock him up, you know? And that may sound radical, but how radical really is it when you've got a president who's a
felon?
Who's a felon.
Yeah, duh. Oh, gosh, where are we?
And a sex offender, I might add, too.
Yes, yes. You know? Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. You know,
and impeached, I might add.
Impeached, convicted felons, rapists. Oh my gosh. Okay. Oh.
You know, this guy is in our office right now. Yeah. Invaded into our office, and the people voted him in. And I'm going, how did you even think on any planet that this is going to work?
Well, you know.
Anyway, I'm
Okay.
I feel like I'm spouting a lot of negativity, but right that's, now there's a lot of negativity around. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. I think sometimes we have to speak the truth as we see it. Hey, thank you so much. And, you know, unfortunately, maybe this is, you know, people say this is in America. Yes, it is. This is America.
Hey, well, you hang in there, Cease, and I appreciate the work that you do. Hang in there and
thank
carry
you.
On, brother.
Okay, you all as right. well. Take care. And you've been listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. I'm Cecil Prescott. Thank you for calling. Stay tuned for more excellent programming. If you're listening live, the next program you'll hear is Omo Variety Hour. In the meantime, take care of yourself and those you love. I'm Cecil Prescott, and we will hear you, speak to you, be in your presence the next time.
Is a legal ID. You are listening to KBOO Portland, and I am Dr. Demento, just barely legal.
It seems like recently the struggle to take action on climate change has gotten more complicated, and there are a lot of solutions.